Thank you, Blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, February 3rd, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemire. Here are our top stories this evening. Human Rights Watch has urged Zimbabwe to compensate displaced Tokwe Mkosi flood victims and encourage the African Union to press Harare to ensure full protection of the rights of the displaced in accordance with its legal obligations.
You do not resettle people on that kind of land, which is subject to multiple claims of ownership.
The deadly floods that have swamped some parts of Zimbabwe of late have been described by some experts as an indication of poor planning and decisions based on political expedience.
From the onset of the flooding situation, I've been looking at issues to do with shelter provision, where we are providing tarpaulins to affected families for temporary shelter.
And the South African government says it will not start deporting Zimbabweans who did not reapply for the Zimbabwean special permits.
So there isn't the 35,000 that's just sitting around waiting to deport. We are still going to tally up and try and find out what happened to most of the people. But what we do know is that a good number of them have moved from the ZSP to ordinary work permits.
And joining you now is Chris Gande. Human Rights Watch has urged Zimbabwe to compensate displaced Tokwe Mkosi flood victims and encouraged the African Union to press Harare to ensure full protection of the rights of the disabled in accordance with its legal obligations under the AU Convention for the Protection and Assistance of Internally Displaced Persons in Africa. The displaced victims say their lives have been ruined following ravaging floods last year, which left them homeless and poor. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
In its report titled Homeless, Landless and Destitute, The Plight of Zimbabwe's Tokwe Mkosi Flood Victims, Human Rights Watch is urging authorities to compensate the 20,000 flood victims while encouraging the African Union to press Harare to ensure full protection of the rights of the displaced in accordance with its relevant statutes. The Human Rights Organization also called on United Nations agencies to directly monitor the situation of the affected people to ensure that humanitarian assistance was not diverted or used to coerce the victims to accept inadequate resettlement options. Speaking at the launch of the report, Human Rights Watch senior researcher Dewama Vinga said the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission should investigate whether the relocation of the flood victims was done in a manner that does not violate their basic rights. Mavinga said it was worrying that the affected families were relocated on pieces of land that is in dispute.
You do not resettle people on that kind of land, which is subject to multiple claims of ownership.
Mavinga urged the affected people to approach the courts for remedial action. Studio 7 failed to get a comment from Mashingo Provincial Affairs Minister Kudakwashe Basikiti, who was not answering his mobile phone, while Home Affairs Minister Kembo Mohadi referred all questions back to Basikiti. The estimated 20,000 people were relocated from the flooded Tokwe Mkosi Dam Basin to Chingwizi Camp on Nwanetse Ranch in Mwenezi District, following the ravaging floods. Now, some of the affected families continue to complain that they do not have suitable accommodation. One such person is Kundiso Tevera, who told VOA Studio 7 that the small plots they were resettled on by government are inadequate for them to eke out a living.
Apana pe kubaka musha ukuti uti ndakavaka musha. Apana pe kuti iwone ngo akasesewa vana vakanga vasina zvitupa.
There is no place to build houses. Since some of us who were assessed by authorities have boys who are now majors, there is no place for them to build their own homes if they get married. And there is nowhere the new daughter-in-law would grow her own crops. There is nowhere to set up pens for goats, cows, and donkeys.
Tevera said waterborne diseases are prevalent at their new settlements, adding that affected families are walking long distances to fetch water from boreholes that were drilled by authorities. She said only 6 of the 36 available boreholes are servicing the entire community.
Yes, I did kugara nezvipfuwo nokuti hakuna zvemvura yekumwa. Hakuna zveufuro hwengombe.
We are not keeping our animals with us because there is no water for them to drink. There are no pastures for our cattle. We spend most of our time at boreholes. If you wake up in the morning, you will only return from the borehole between 2 and 3 in the afternoon. And at the end of the day, our children will spend most of the day hungry because of the shortage of water. The borehole water is very salty, and most children are now suffering from diarrhea. And when it's drilling, we also have a problem with scorpions, and they're biting, and they're very poisonous.
Another villager, Wanisai Muzenda, said access to food is a major problem in the new settlements, especially considering that they were resettled on some semi-arid land. Muzenda said most of their children are now dropping out of school because of the hardships faced by the displaced families.
My husband passed on a long time ago, and I'm on medication, so it's difficult for me to take my pills on an empty stomach. I have kids, and with these scorpions everywhere, it's hard to survive. Then I asked myself why the government has resettled us in this area. I also asked myself what kind of dam would be constructed in such an area. In other countries, they construct their dams in an orderly manner. I am pleading with President Robert Mugabe to address the situation.
Former Zimbabwe National Army soldier Kenneth Hlavano, who has also been seriously affected following his relocation to a new settlement, said he is concerned that authorities have not paid displaced villagers money as some form of compensation despite moving them 3 times. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
In a related development, the deadly floods that have swamped some parts of the country of late have been described by some experts as less of a natural disaster and more the result of poor planning, lax enforcement, and decisions based on political expedience. Damaged watersheds, illegally built structures, and the neglect of drainage systems are some of the factors that have made the people much more vulnerable to enormous floods. Urban planners in the Ministry of Local Government, speaking on condition of anonymity, told Studio 7 that the lack of vision has seen the total collapse of the infrastructure. Heavy rains that have been pounding Harare since Sunday have left a trail of destruction, damaging homes and businesses in the capital. The Meteorological Department is also warning of heavy rains in the next 48 hours. Ashdown Park in Melbourne received a record 158 millimetres of rain Sunday.
The Zimbabwe Republic Police has appealed to motorists and the public to be on high alert as several people were trapped after trying to drive in flooded roads. The crisis has been worsened by Harare's failure to fund the Civil Protection Unit, which deals with humanitarian disasters. Areas around the Zambezi River Basin are on high alert following floods in Mozambique that have killed more than 159 people and affected nearly 160,000 people. Jesse Majome, Member of Parliament for Harare West, the most affected suburb in Harare, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the situation is desperate.
I want to think that in Harare, my constituents have possibly been the worst affected because there are suburbs such as Ashdown Park, Bloomingdale, Tinwald North, and also Lenana Park and Good Hope, as well as Sunridge. I'm actually still trying to verify the extent of this, but definitely, you know, a lot of my suburbs in my constituency have been really badly affected. I got a call from someone from Sunridge last night, that's at about 8:30 p.m. They woke up to find that there was water that had reached a level of 30 centimeters in the house. You know, it seeped into lounge suites, bed bases, and you know, she had to evacuate her elderly parents from there. And they slept at 3 a.m. scooping out the water. It's not totally the flood, but the flooding is one big problem, but there's been tree. The storm itself struck a lot of trees as well as wind blowing them. The roads were closed. On Monday morning, many roads in Harare West in certain areas were blocked because there are these old trees, mainly trees, jacaranda trees that are owned by council, that are on the along roadside.
What would you attribute this disaster to? Is it just nature or it's also a man-made disaster?
I think this is a governance issue. There are some brand new suburbs that have gone on to, that have been planned, not planned, they've just been, that have been built onto places that had previously for ages and ages been left vacant.
That was Harare West MP Jesse Majome speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Blessing also reached the Zimbabwe Red Cross Society spokesperson Tekmo Mazuruse, who says his organization has stepped up to assist flood victims.
From the onset of the flooding situation, we've been looking at issues to do with shelter provision, where we are providing tarpaulins to affected families for temporary shelter. We are also looking at provision of other non-food relief items like blankets, you know, kitchen sets, water buckets, as well as aqua tips to purify water because some of the water sources have been destroyed. We are also looking at health and hygiene promotion, where we are educating members of the community in affected areas to also, you know, practice safer health and hygiene, you know, practices as a way of, you know, fighting against the spread of waterborne diseases. And as part of you know, the broader approach to the flood situation, we've also engaged the International Federation of the Red Cross to try and get some, you know, funding to assist our efforts. So we are happy to say we have received the disaster relief fund, which is meant to aid our efforts.
Which would you say are the most affected areas?
The most affected areas include you know, the Mashonaland Central and Mashonaland East, mainly Mvarabani, some parts of Mount Darwin, Mashonaland West, Manukaland as well as some parts of Midlands and Matabeleland North.
That was Zimbabwe Red Cross Society spokesperson Tekmo Mazuruse speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Mashingo.
Chinoyi Provincial Magistrate Ignatius Mugoba today remanded former ZANU-PF Provincial Chairman for Mashonaland West Province, Themba Mliswa, in custody, saying he will discuss bail conditions tomorrow. Mliswa is facing charges of allegedly possessing unlicensed weapons.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA.
The South African government says it will not start deporting Zimbabweans who did not reapply for the Zimbabwean special permits, as the Home Affairs Department is currently undergoing a process to tally and find out what happened to the remaining 35,000 former permit holders. In an interview with Studio 7, a spokesman of the South African Home Affairs Department, Maihlome Shwete, says there are not 35,000 Zimbabweans waiting to be deported, as many may have found other means to regularize their stay in South Africa or even returned to Zimbabwe. There have been reports that the South African government will start deporting those people under the program who did not beat the December 31st deadline to regularize their status in the country. Shwete tells Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo the Home Affairs Department is fully aware of the remaining Zimbabweans who have not applied that way under the previous program and is finalizing the final register of all those that were supposed to regularize their status.
We are still going to tally up and try to find out what happened to most of the people. But what we do know is that a good number of them have moved from the ZSP to ordinary work permits. It's important to understand what the ZSP is. ZSP was done in 2010 for people who were in the country illegally, and it was done to try to regularize their stay. It wasn't the complete sum of Zimbabwean foreign nationals in South Africa, and it doesn't represent all Zimbabwean nationals in South Africa. It was specifically for those people who were in the country illegally. So some of those people may have moved from the ZSP to an ordinary work permit. I have spoken to a number of people who have done that. To the extent that deportations will happen, they will happen if anybody's undocumented, whether they're Zimbabwean or American. It's not an intention to target Zimbabwean nationals. Everybody should be documented, and that applies in America and Europe too.
How will you be tallying to find out if some people have moved
on?
We
have the department took details of those people who had received the old special dispensation. They took details of those people. So we intend to do a survey to see what happened to them.
And looking at the new ZSP process, there are some who are already receiving their permits who reapplied. May you explain how exactly someone will regularize their stay in anticipation of the permit's expiration?
The same way it applies for anybody else. You apply for a certain work permit. When you apply for that work permit, it's clarified to you what you need to do. And in many of those cases, you apply from the country of origin. You are adjudicated and then you are given a response by the department.
So you're saying that for the Zimbabweans, even if they are under the ZSP, they will have to follow the similar law like anyone else?
Yeah. Well, for the most part, we try to apply our law as equally as possible. What we expect of other foreign nationals, we expect of the rest. We try to apply ourselves equally as possible.
That was Mahlome Shwete, spokesman of the South African Home Affairs Department, speaking with Studio 7, Tatenda Gumbo from Johannesburg, South Africa. The MDC formation of former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai says it appreciates efforts by associations and individuals who are willing to assist victims of political violence as long as they respect the party's leadership and the constitution. This follows the handing over of a two-roomed house to a victim of the 2002 political violence by the MDC Veteran Activists Association in Ulawayo over the weekend. Party spokesman Obet Gutu says there is nothing wrong with that as long as the association follows the party constitution.
The gesture is most welcome, Jonga, as long as the Veterans Association is following the rules and regulations of the MDC led by Morgan Tsvangirai. We as the MDC, we say that all party members are bound by the rules, regulations and the constitution of the party. We are actually very delighted if members of the party form associations that are aimed at giving assistance to less privileged members of the party, in the sense that we are saying we are a big tent approach and the more the merrier. So as long as the Veterans Association and all any other association for that matter that is linked or associated with the MDC follows the rules and regulations of the party, and more particularly respects the leadership of the party as elected as Congress, we have no problem.
That was MDC spokesman Obet Gutu speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Many MDC members lost their homes and property due to political violence in the run-up to the country's polls in 2002 and 2008. We also spoke with MDC Veteran Activists Association spokesman Swithin Chirowodza, who says his organization is just helping victims after realizing that the party was not able to do so.
We just undertook a program of helping victims of political violence, and over the weekend we helped widow Regina Ndlovu, whose house was destroyed in 2002 by war veterans. And I should mention that several houses were destroyed in the area, but Regina Ndlovu was unable to come out of a stressful situation and misery. So we had to chip in and build a house, and quite a new house, and quite an improvement, because the old house that was burned was a thatched house.
We understand that you failed to invite your provincial leadership.
I think if there are reports that we failed to invite party leadership, that is mischievous propaganda. What actually happened is that we invited the president, Morgan Tsvangirai, 3 months ago. But as of Friday, we were informed by a senior party member that President Morgan Tsvangirai could not come to the occasion because we are not in good books with some of the leaders in the standing committee.
That was MDC Veteran Activists Association spokesperson Swithin Chirowodza in Ulawayo.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
A political analyst Pilani Zamchia says the Zimbabwe civil society is in a sorry state and unable to play its watchdog role.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The United Nations World Food Programme says it is extremely concerned by images circulating on social media showing WFP food boxes with Islamic State in Syria rebels posted over the WFP logo. The Islamic State, also known as ISIS or ISIL, is trying to exert control over millions of people in Syria and Iraq.
And an attack on a bus in Bangladesh killed at least 7 people and injured 16 others today in the latest violence attributed to political unrest in the country. Authorities blamed opposition activists for throwing the firebombs that ignited the bus as it traveled from the coastal town of Cox Bazar to the capital, Dakar.
Despite European Union sanctions targeting President Robert Mugabe and his inner circle, the Zimbabwean leader is now free to visit Europe as long as he is traveling on African Union business as chairman. This announcement from EU spokesperson Catherine Ray today says after Mr. Mugabe took over the EU chairmanship at a summit in Ethiopia, Addis Ababa. The European Union slapped President Mugabe with travel and financial restrictions in 2002 over human rights violation concerns. But following his new EU portfolio, the EU spokesperson told the Associated Press news agents in Brussels that the ban will be lifted when Mugabe is traveling under his African Union chairmanship capacity. She did not, however, say whether the moratorium will also apply to First Lady Grace Mugabe, who is under similar restrictions. For perspective, reporter Ntungamili Nkomo reached political commentator Nkululeko Sibanda.
I think that for the millions of Zimbabweans who have suffered under Mugabe's regime in the past three dozen of years, that this is terribly bad news. One would have wanted to continue to see the Europeans standing firm on principle against a man who has caused untold suffering to millions of people on earth. And I think that this is a terribly sorry position. But the other problem is that it forces a rewrite of history into which Mugabe seems to be slowly but surely eventually becoming the winner in an argument of protecting human rights against some form of shallow ideology that is not neither Pan-Africanist nor truly nationalistic in the sense of building the nation of Zimbabwe.
When Mr. Mugabe's tenure as AU chairman expires, do you see the European Union reintroducing these measures?
It's very clear to me that the manner in which these sanctions have been relaxed is such that it's been done very quickly, indicating that no conference has taken place, that no serious or heavy consultation has taken place. And historically, it takes a lot longer to put sanctions into place than it does to remove them. And I think that this is will be one of those first instances in the history of international relations where you get sanctions put back into force just immediately, or as things expire. They're likely to just leave them at this at the current level, or to continue finding reasons to relax them further and further.
Political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda on the line from England with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo.
Meanwhile, some opposition parties in Zimbabwe and political analysts say President Robert Mugabe's elevation to the position of African Union chairperson will not resolve the country's social, economic and political challenges. Our correspondent Taurai Shaba has more details from the Midlands capital, Gweru.
Most local opposition parties are of the view that President Mugabe's new continental post will not benefit Zimbabwe. National spokesperson Brian Dube of the MDCT's youth wing says the president's elevation is retrogressive.
President Mugabe's stance of trying to fight, basing on illusions of neo-colonialism, does not benefit anyone. It has failed to benefit Zimbabweans at all. And what I want to make clear is that President Mugabe is not a champion of human rights. He's actually a champion of human rights violations, because even himself, he is quoted as saying he has degrees in violence. So I don't really understand anyone who would say President Mugabe is a champion of the African people. He has not done anything to actually show that, apart from the claims by his present worshippers in his party.
His views are echoed by former MDCP legislator Meshack Tofamangwana Kagurabadza of the same MDC formation, led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, who says African leaders let down the continent in appointing Mr. Mugabe as the AU chairperson.
Well, it's more than a slap in our face. It's more than that, because Mugabe has totally failed to run Zimbabwe. You can see that other regions, like, you know, Asia, the Americas, the leaders have control of their own situation. Their economies are expanding, but ours is just going down the skids. So there's no way under God's green earth you can expect Mugabe to handle Zimbabwe, SADC, then African Union. It's a sheer waste of time.
Pasmonya Kureba, a lawyer and chairperson of the Zimbabwe Human Rights Association, or ZimRights, in Manicaland province, says that Zimbabwe has the right to leave the African Union as it is done on a rotational basis. However, Nyakureba says since President Mugabe is currently the leader of Zimbabwe, that makes it difficult for him to fully comply with the expectations and desires of human rights defenders who feel that he is not the best person to deal with such issues.
The first thing is that the president is a chairperson of the African Union in his capacity as the president of Zimbabwe. So I think the most important thing is that Zimbabwe is the chairperson of the African Union. And as a nation, I think we should be proud and associate ourselves with that. But however, the ability of the president in his capacity as the leader of Zimbabwe and of African Union to deal with human rights issues and violations that are taking place across Africa is another issue. The president is not the best person who can deal with human rights violations and abuses, because his name will be mentioned when the names of human rights violators is mentioned.
Conflict Resolution and Development Studies lecturer with the Zimbabwe Open University, speaking as an independent analyst, says President Mugabe's identity as a Pan-Africanist puts him in a better position to occupy the AU chairmanship. But Dewa also says it should not be expected that Zimbabwe and Africa at large will benefit much from Mr. Mugabe's chairmanship.
The Zimbabweans stand not really to benefit much from the AU or from his chairpersonship. Why? Yes, in terms of the wealth of ideas, he is okay. He's a strategist, he's a Pan-Africanist. But let me tell you something here. The Pan-Africanists are rich in terms of the mindset and ideology, but they are poor in as far as the resources are concerned.
Vincent Chakunda, a PhD candidate in public administration with Fort Hare University, also speaking as an independent analyst, says it is too simplistic to dismiss the importance of the AU chairmanship as it is a strategic position. Chakunda says Mr. Mugabe could use the position to spruce up Africa's image and to re-engage with the international community.
Being chairperson of the AU strategically positioned our president to engage the most strategic investors around the world for the benefit of the country, the region, and the continent. But the most important thing, perhaps, is to rebrand Africa and to start the politics of engagement with the spirit of developing our continent. You know, the president has not been relating well with the Western countries. But the most important thing now is to normalize those relations. So I think it's now the most strategic and the most golden opportunity given to our country in order to engage all those nations for the benefit of
While our congratulating country. President Mugabe for being chosen to the rotational position, President Marcelina Chikasha of the African Democratic Party describes as an anomaly the fact that the president has been chosen to chair the AU while there are problems linked to issues of good governance in his own country. Responding to the question on whether or not President Mugabe's concurrent chairing of the Regional Southern African Development Community Bloc and the AU might impact on how the two bodies might broker any problems that may be brought before them by the Zimbabwean opposition, Chikasha argued that Zimbabweans must learn to solve their own problems without looking to outsiders.
Thank you, Taurai Shaba. That was Taurai Shaba reporting from Gweru, and he brings the show to an end. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when we'll discuss the flooding problems in Harare and in the country. This is Jonga Kandemire.